Turn to Psalm 37. No, I'm sorry. Job 33. Job 33. And let's see if I can find the. Yes, verse 23. Pastor Morrison and Don. This couple was, they were a team, and there's Pastor Morrison, and we were about the same age. Yeah, I think he's 2 years younger than me. We went to Bible college together. Then I graduated, and I went to Finland, and he, there's Pastor Ben next to him. And then he came to Finland to join the team in Finland. And we had a joke because I don't know how it happened, but he came to the airport, and then immediately he got on a train. We sent him up in the country to preach. So he had no time even to land. I mean, he came to Finland and went directly to preach at a school. Many hours away. Great friend, amazing servant. This verse kind of fits for him. Job 33, verse 23. If there is a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious to him. And says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. You know, there may not be many men of God. They're one among a thousand. But he was one of those. He, I have a short list of things here from Doug Wombolt, his elder up in Marlboro. He lived for the Bema seat. He was a pursuing pastor. He went after people. He also went after God. He always would say, we are about missions. We are about missions. That was a motto in the church. They gave a lot of money to missions. They're always promoting missions. And he was always one with us, always one with Dr. Stevens. A very good disciple of the ministry, the Bible speaks. Loved messages, loved conviction, loved the cross, the application of the cross in his life. He also had a lot of joy. He had a sense of humor. He also had wisdom. In our problems here through our transition, 15 years ago, he was a great friend to me and to us. And in Chicago, in one of our tense meetings, he stood up, and he was small. He was actually the founder of the Short Pastors Association. And Stan Collins wanted to join it, and he said, "You can't. You're not allowed. You're not allowed." But he was fearless. He had conviction. He had fire. When something was wrong, it was wrong. When it was right, it was right. He had a laid-down life on the inside and outside. He was concerned with lost people. He loved people very much. He knew people. He would talk to people. He knew their history. He encouraged them. Haverhill, Mass was his first church. He went to Bible school in South Berwick. He went to Finland as a missionary. He was a pastor for 34 years in Marlboro. Traveled to Europe, Africa, South America. He knew the importance of preaching the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. He was a man of prayer. He was humble. He was a generous giver. And he passed a few days ago. Was it yesterday or the day before? And I rejoice in that. He's with the Lord. And Carl, Pastor Carl, and Pastor Yorma, and soon you. You know, turn to your neighbor and say, and soon you. Okay. You know, maybe I'll just say this one thing as I finish here. Learn to laugh at yourself. I shared that in the staff the other day. Learn to laugh at yourself. I have seen people through the years have problems. They have problems with themselves, and they have problems with other people. They have problems in the church because they cannot laugh at themselves. That's what it boils down to. They are too serious. They are too serious with themselves, too serious with people, too serious about life. They don't have it. Pastor Morrison was not like that. He could make fun of himself. He enjoyed it, but he never lost his dignity and his sense of his own value. He knew that in Jesus Christ. It's a mark of a spiritual person. A spiritual person can afford to be very carefree in this life, very carefree, and be able to laugh about things that are crazy in this world. Don't be so serious. If you're too serious, it'll catch you. But the Bible says a year ago we had a convention in this very place. Remember that word convention? Anybody remember what that was? We used to have one in Europe and in Baltimore. Okay. Last year's convention, what was the title? Rejoice in the Lord always. How can you do it if you take yourself too seriously? If you can't laugh about the mask thing. The mask thing, I got one over there. Why aren't I wearing it? I don't know. Okay, you laugh about money, about children, about people, about the church, about life. To enjoy, rejoice in the Lord, how much? Always, and again, because you don't believe me, I'm telling you, always. There it is. Well, Pastor Love's going to give the message tonight. I'm going to sit over there and sit back and enjoy it. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Pastor Love, come on up.
Amen. Wow. I think I remember my wife and I, actually she wasn't my wife, we were dating at the time. It was over 40 years ago. She went to Salem State University. And I don't know where up there, but somewhere in that area, we had heard about a Bible Speaks pastor who was preaching. And so we went out. I can't even recall the location because I'm in the early stages of dementia. but it was a long time ago. And we went there, and it was Pastor Morrison. Pastor Morrison was preaching. And I thought to myself, you know, he's a little guy. What's he going to say? But so much, you know, and there was a picture up there playing the saxophone. When he used to pick that up in Marlboro, I thought, he's probably going to fall off the end of that because it's the instrument was as heavy as he was. But really, what a great guy. What a, praise God, we got to know him. He was in our ministry. Wow. One of the last times I was up there and we were evangelizing together, we would go to Worcester, Massachusetts on Saturday to do outreach, and he said, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. And I said, really? Why? And he said, because I met this World War II veteran, and I was sharing the gospel with him, and I had a great long conversation with him. And in the course of the conversation, he told me that when he was over in Europe, fighting during the Second World War for the country, he said he met a chaplain, And he said, to Pastor Morrison, he goes, the strangest name. He says, the name, it was Chaplain Love. It's Chaplain Love. So Pastor Morrison said, well, we have a Chaplain Love. We have a Chaplain Love. And he said, is that right? Well, he said, I don't think it's the same one. And he said, no, it's a different one. He says, but I would like you to meet him someday. So that Saturday, Pastor Morrison said, you got to come with me. And we found the man. He was there because apparently he would go to this one location, the downtown area, and sit there in the park. And we found him, and he came up, and he started, you know, conversation. He said, he said, here he is. Here's Chaplain Love. He goes, that's not the one I know. And he goes, no, I know it's not the same one. He says, but he's a chaplain too. And he says, well, yeah, he looked at me, he goes, what are you a chaplain for? I says, well, a basketball team. He goes, he was just so excited that, you know, we were going to be able to meet this man. He loved souls. He loved soul winning. He loved people. He loved everybody he met, and it was always such a joy and a pleasure to be in his company, wasn't it? Be greatly missed. Well, Father, we thank you for gathering us together here tonight. We just pray that you'd bless the words that we share now. In Jesus' name, amen. Today on the Grace Hour with Pastor Rinaldo, he shared this verse in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, about Caleb. And I think we're all familiar with the life of Caleb. Caleb and Joshua, two of those 12 spies that went into the land, sent there by Moses, little reconnaissance mission, remember? Go in, spy out the land. And I always think about this, that he said to them, see if it is everything that God said it is. In other words, go into the land and come back and agree with God that it is what God said it was. But of course, when they came back, the 10 spies brought back so much more than that. They started to talk about the people groups and the obstacles and the walled cities and giants in the land, and then made that strange comparison that they're giants and we're grasshoppers. I don't recall once that God ever referred to his people as grasshoppers. It's not in the Bible. So they came back and they said, this is our new identity, the grasshoppers. And they were the first to promote this grasshopper complex that spread throughout the entire nation. Imagine that. And the negative report from these 10 spies infiltrated all of the people. And then, of course, there was Joshua and Caleb, right? And, of course, after listening to the 10 spies, they just quieted the people and they said, no, listen, it is a land, just as God said it was, a land that flows with milk and honey. Here's the fruit of it. We shouldn't wait another moment. We should go into the land immediately and take it. It's ours. God said so. He's given it to us. It's a gift of grace. Let's take it. Great faith. Great confession of faith. And then, of course, you know, the negative report had already found its way into the camp. It already had infiltrated the minds and the hearts of people. And I mean, that was the end of that. And now the children of Israel would wander in the wilderness for some, what, almost 40 years. Can you imagine? And all I can think about, and the verse that Pastor Rinaldo read today, Numbers 14:24, you know, when Caleb finally came into that land, that entire generation died off. Joshua and Caleb, they go into the land. When Caleb goes into the land, he says, you know, give me the mountain that I saw some 45 years ago. In other words, he stepped into the land, had finished fighting the battles, and he said, I've come here to collect a promise. A promise that was made to me over 40 years ago, and I've come to collect. I like that. And it says there, Numbers 14:24, that Caleb had a different spirit. That's what made him so different. That's what set him apart. He had a different spirit, just like so many of us, right? A different spirit. What's it going to take living in an age when a pandemic seems to be the greatest thought hovering in our hearts, above our minds, just about virtually everywhere. I'll tell you what it's going to take. Another spirit. Another spirit. And then it also says this, and Caleb followed the Lord wholly. I have been on a quest. I have been on a quest since I was very young. I have been on a quest for a problem-free life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I have not found it. Nobody has, right? Nobody goes to sleep at night and says, well, at the end of the day, that was a great day. There were absolutely no problems. My mind and heart is completely at rest, and I'm only praying for another one like that tomorrow. Nobody goes to sleep like that, right? Any more than the nightly news comes on and he says, all we have is good news. We apologize for it right from the beginning of our broadcast, but it's just good, good, good. So, tape it because you'll want to listen to it over and over again. No. What we hear is, that you hear the music on the nightly news, and then you hear just that serious look, and more of us are dying, and it's the president's fault, and we've got to do something. I mean, on it, and it's just like, you just sit there going, They're feeding our hearts with fear. And thank God we have the house of God that we can come to so we can feed our hearts on faith. Amen? We have to. Because we need another spirit. Listen, we're not immune to the reality of the pandemic or the virus, and we know it's there, and we're taking the necessary precautions, and we do all that we can. But we cannot afford to let our hearts be filled with fear, because fear has a way of driving God's thoughts out of our souls. And if there were ever a time to collect God's promises, to hide those promises in our hearts, to allow those promises to give us a divine perspective, and to live with something called hope, it's now. It's now. So again, there's no such thing as a problem-free life. If you're waiting for it, also go outside tonight, look in the air, and see if you see pigs flying around. Okay? Because it's on the same level. It's not going to happen. There's always going to be trouble, always going to be problems, always going to be difficult. It will never be an ongoing, ever-increasing blue sky existence, right? Or as somebody else put it, they said, anybody who thinks that life is a bowl of cherries is bananas, right? It's true. Problems happen. And they happen to everybody, don't they? I mean, when I was a young believer and I got saved, I think I got saved because I had so many problems. And I finally just yielded to Christ and said, yes, I accept Christ. And I really had this idea in my mind, no more problems for me. I'm going to be problem free. Everybody else is going to be troubled, but I'm going to be problem free. And after the first, hour of being saved, I realized that's probably not the case. Because and really, I think what God says is, no, in fact, I'm going to personally create a few problems to increase your dependence upon me, and to remove you from independence from the self-life. I was in shock. I thought, how can God use problems? Well, he does. Because, everybody has problems, but not all people deal with their problems in the same way. And of course, that's what separates us as believers from an unbelieving world. Some people are overcome, aren't they, by their problems. But then there are other people in this room, in this place, here in these seats tonight, that overcome their problems because of Christ living in them, because of the Word of God abiding in them. A lot of people, because of their problems, they're left bitter. And yet, so many people here could get up and testify and say, hey, because of the problems of life, I'm actually better. I mean, I don't mean to say that you can improve upon the righteousness that's been imputed to us by faith, or that you can add to the perfect standing that we've been given by virtue of Christ's finished work. But what I'm saying is, as we move through life, we actually do become better. We actually enjoy more of life because we realize our problems don't exist to trouble us or to drag us down. Our problems exist so that God can take them, work them together for our good, reveal his glory, and manifest his life to a watching world. God does that. So Caleb, again, he's going to accept the challenges that are before him by faith. And others are going to accept those same challenges with fear. And they're going to be paralyzed. And they're going to wander aimlessly throughout a desert. And you know, we were saying today on the radio how, you know, it would have been so easy for Caleb to be bitter. You know, to cry out to God and say, listen, I believed you. Joshua believed you. You know, why do we have to wander with these unbelieving, stubborn, stiff-necked people? It's, you know, he could say something that we've heard throughout our lives. I mean, he might have been the first one who could have, he didn't do it, but he could have coined the phrase, God, it's not fair. It's not fair that why should I live a troubled life because of their lack of faith? Why should I be associated with a people who won't trust you and won't take you at your word and won't mix faith with your promises? Why do I have to endure the next 40-something years of wandering with them? I mean, he could have been the kind of guy that every time another one of them perished in the wilderness, he could have been, you, woo, hallelujah, there goes another one. Let's get rid of them all, Lord. Sooner the better, so I can get my mountain. But that wasn't his attitude. That was not his attitude. His attitude was, listen, God's still in this. We're still God's chosen people. We might have delayed the fulfillment of his promise toward us as the children of Israel, but he's still God. He's still on the throne. We can still trust him. And I know the day is going to come when he will come through on those promises. And I'm going to be there to collect that promise. Collecting promises. That's what we do every time we come together. Every rap session, every class, every leadership class like we had this morning and then tomorrow and Friday. Every rap session following the services, every Bible study that we have. Oh, what are we doing? Collecting promises. More and more promises. Why? Because we need God's thoughts now more than ever. I mean, Caleb's story, it stands out. Why? Because his faith stands out. That's really what separated him. I mean, 45 years earlier, I can't even imagine it. He believed God, but he could not enter into that land. Well, the great part about the story is that God took notice of Caleb's courage, and God took notice of Caleb's faith, and he never forgot it. And he prized that in the life of his servant. And again, that's why we read he had a different spirit. You know, we could try to define that word different in so many ways, and we would all have good, you know, illustrations and good definitions to describe it. But let's just say it's out of this world. It's nothing like this world. It almost rises to another level, and we would say that other level is the thoughts of God, which are so much higher than the thoughts of man. So much higher than the thoughts that an unbelieving, Christ-rejecting world might experience. We don't have those thoughts. We have higher thoughts, loftier thoughts. I mean, after all, we're seated above in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Our minds are to be set on those things which are above in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Because that's where our lives really are, hid with Christ in God. So we set our minds and set our affections on things above. I mean, what a resume, I mean, for Caleb, right? Caleb, how were you remembered? Well, I had a different spirit. I'm someone who wholly followed the Lord. I mean, who wouldn't want that kind of a resume? Who wouldn't want something like that, you know, written on their tombstone, right? What would you like in terms of words on your resume when life comes to a conclusion? We think of Pastor Morrison. We hear words like joy and love and just a pleasure to be around and preaching the gospel and winning souls and loving people. I mean, what a resume, amen? That's how we want to live our lives the exact same way. I mean, he follows in the footsteps of Caleb. He is yet another Caleb because he had a different spirit. He was so unlike the rest of this world. As Pastor Schaller said, he could laugh at himself. And that is so vital. That is so important that we learn to laugh and that we learn to have freedom, that we learn to enjoy life and not look at it as a great burden that's been delivered unto us to crush us. Well, what kind of spirit catches God's eye? What qualifies as a different spirit? It's almost like, you know, the answers start to emerge and they come forth from the Bible when the distribution of the land begins to take place. And turn to Joshua chapter 14, and we can read that. Because really, this is the essence of what it was that set Caleb apart. And they're his own words. And you can see what he was thinking based upon what he speaks. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Our words are simply the verbal expression of what it is that we're thinking. And listen to how Caleb was thinking. The 14th chapter of Joshua, the 6th verse. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, he said unto him, you know the thing which the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now, for war, for both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Then verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord of Israel. What do you read? What do you keep hearing about? Over and over, and the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, 9 times, the Lord. Joshua, what's on your mind? The Lord. Joshua, what are you thinking about? Caleb, rather, what are you thinking about? The Lord. Where have you placed your mind? On the Lord. What about the people that kept you in a wilderness for 40 years? Didn't that trouble you? Didn't bother me. My mind was on the Lord. You know, I often think, what if somebody took a transcript of my mind? what would they read? It would probably be something like, the virus, the mask, the pandemic, the problem. You know, where am I going to sit in church? I don't know. The roped off area, the other area. I'm not sure. You know, who am I going to sit beside? Contaminated, uncontaminated? I don't know. What would a transcript of my mind look like? Because the world wants to program us to think that way when God says, listen, want to get through a pandemic? Have another spirit. Want to get through a crisis in life? Have another spirit. Want to get through an economic challenge in your life? Have another spirit. Want to be challenged by what's happening in the world? Have another spirit. That's what it takes. That's what he had. I mean, think about it. One day it could be the economy, you know. Sometimes if you've got a bad neighbor, you know, you go home and what do you think about? The jerk that lives next door to me. What am I, you know? I mean, it could be anything. It's whatever it is that occupies our thinking. And again, if we sit back and if we, in a passive way, just keep taking our cues from this world and from our culture, then we're going to be troubled. We're not going to see any hope for the future. But God teaches us to do otherwise. I mean, it's possible. Don't. None of us should condemn ourselves if we get to that place and say, oh, you know, because God wants us to understand this. You know, oh, my soul, why are you cast down? Well, we got to do what the psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse 5. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise his name. I will find hope as I look into his countenance. That's what he said. In other words, he counseled himself with the thoughts of God. It's like we got to learn to just to treat our cast down souls with thoughts of God. Flood our souls with thoughts of God. Drench our hearts and minds with thoughts of God. And cast down anything that's contrary to the thoughts of God. Because the thoughts of God say, even in these hours in which we find ourselves living, the thoughts of God say what? I can do all things through Christ who's strengthening me from within. The thoughts of God teach us that God's grace will be sufficient for us, and He will supply our every need, and we will lack nothing to His glory and honor. The thoughts of God. Just let them marinate in your soul. If you let the thoughts of this world marinate your soul, oh, it's just going to drag you down. It's going to beat you up. It's going to make you bitter and angry. And you might even be tempted to say, you know, God's not fair. Praise God. We thank God tonight. He's not fair. Amen. He's gracious. He's good. Somebody could say, Joshua, this is just so unfair. God's not fair. You know what he would say? God is good. God keeps his promise. God will get us into the land. All we have to do is believe him and mix faith with what he says. That's all he's ever looking for. The thoughts of God. We can't meditate on our misery, right? We can't keep reciting our problems over and over again. It never changes us. It never makes us, you know, or puts us in an improved situation. It's like some people say, well, I'm around these people and all they ever do is like, you know, they sing the blues. Well, so they don't have to invite you into the chorus. You can step aside and say, I would like to sing a different song. I would like to sing the songs we sang tonight before we started our service. I would like to sing a song of worship, of praise, of glory, of knowing that God is going to carry us through and he's going to get us to the other side because he always keeps his promises, and that's why we want to collect them. Thank God for a Caleb. Thank God for the Calebs in our church. I think if Pastor Schiavelli was alive at that time, him and Caleb would be joined at the hip. No question. Caleb would probably be following him. You know? But that, why? Because that same spirit. And the body of Christ here has that same spirit. And, you know, because we've learned something. You know, we've learned our best thoughts are God's thoughts. That's it. Our best thoughts are God's thoughts. And when we have God's thoughts, we're thinking the best thoughts we can think. And we can't get those thoughts by watching the news or being informed again and again and again or checking in with social media and seeing, you know, what people are saying. We can't get those thoughts that way. We have to get them from above, right? We have to develop that personal relationship in our own souls. I mean, they talk about, you know, hanging on to the coattails of other politicians when there's a political race. You know, if a Republican or a Democratic president is sweeping the country and winning in a landslide, most of the time, typically, all of the Democrats will win their offices that they're running for, or all of the Republicans will win. Well, the coattail effect doesn't work in the kingdom of God. You got to get your own faith. You got to do your own believing. You can't just be swept into the kingdom because everybody else is. You have to make that choice, and I have to make that choice that says, I am going to believe God. I am going to be in the business of starting each day and collecting another promise and hiding it in my heart so that I will have all that is needed, all of the strength, all of the impetus, all of the power, all of the divine ability that will allow me to live a life as an overcomer. God promises that he'll do it for us. We have to turn the deaf ear sometimes to the critics, to the doubters, right? Ignore all the naysayers. And, you know, when the pessimists begin to crow, we just kind of cover our ears. And then we just say, Lord, I need to hear you. Those are prevailing voices out there. But I need to hear that one voice among a thousand that says, it will be even as God said it would be. We can still trust him. We can still move forward by faith. We may be limited in some senses like we haven't been in the past, but we know it's just a matter of time before our God will carry us through and we will begin to take whatever time he gives us while we have here on the planet to redeem it and to redeem souls and to reach a world with the gospel, because he knows that, you know, if we stand still for too long, grass is going to begin to grow under our feet. We have got to get back to going into all the world and preaching the gospel, because we know that that's important to God. We know that his last commandment is our first priority, and we cannot wait to do it again. And we know it's just a matter of time before we will be doing it again. Well, Joshua and Caleb outnumbered 10 to 2. But they still believed in God's power. And the day came. I can imagine what that must have been like for Caleb when he steps into that land and he sees that mountain that he had seen decades earlier. And he said, "There it is. I've come to claim it. It's mine. I'm as healthy now as I was back then. I'm as strong now as I was back then. My spirit hasn't been diminished. My soul has not been discouraged. It could have been if I allowed it, if I let it happen. I didn't. I'm here to collect a promise." And I think every time we come together, like even tonight, we come for that one great purpose, to collect God's promises. Because we can't live without them. Bread alone doesn't cut it. We need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for calling us into this local assembly. We could have been called into all kinds of different churches and all different parts of the globe, but you called us here, and you called us for such a time as this. And you have given us another spirit. We want to embrace another spirit, a spirit of peace, a spirit of hope, a spirit of optimism, a spirit of joy, spirit of God. The spirit of Christ abides in us. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We want to collect them on a regular basis. We want those promises to energize our souls and to maintain a level of spiritual optimism that cannot be daunted by this world or dampened by the culture. Thank you, Lord. If anyone's here tonight, you've never made a decision to trust Jesus Christ, it all starts there. It all starts with being born again. God wants to make you a brand new creature in Christ. Old things can be passed away. Your past, your sin, your mistakes, instead of being occupied with them, instead of trying to figure out how to correct them, instead of trying to figure out how to make everything that was wrong right, don't even bother. Don't even bother. Just say yes to Jesus. Come into my heart. Save me. Quicken me with your spirit. Give me a new life and a new beginning. I want to walk with you, Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you said that prayer, just put your hand up. Put it right back down. Thank you. In the back, the ushers have something special for you, a gift they want to give you. Anyone else, put it up, put it right back down. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you that not one of your promises will ever fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand. This is our hope. This is our peace. Faithful is
Okay. Wow. Wasn't that a good message? That was so good. That was so good. So, like, appropriate, and just what are some things that stuck in your mind? Yes, okay, we did. We laughed. He had a different spirit. So, there is a spirit of the world, but you have a different spirit, right? There's a spirit of pride, maybe, but you have what? Spirit of love, of humility. There's a spirit of confusion. What spirit do you have? We have another spirit. We're not confused. It's clear. We can go into the promised land. We could go now. I have that. But 10 people said, no, we cannot do that. No, we cannot. Much more serious than that. No, we got to be realistic. Yeah, I understand that. But there's a spirit in life, Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, the spirit of worship, spirit of the body. Now, you know how you change in life? By being humble enough to sit and listen to that kind of message and receive something from God. You might say, well, I don't know, I did, but I received something, but, you know, is this how it's going to go? And we say, yes, that's how it goes. You grow little by little, and you have the right spirit, and you're able to be a long time. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? I don't know. How many? I don't really know. I'm just asking the question. 120 years, maybe. I don't know. Long time. How about Moses? He was out in the desert for how long? 40 years, and then he went back. And that went to Egypt, and then he came back out. How many years was he out there again? Another 40. Long time. What kind of spirit did Caleb have? He came out of Egypt. How old was he when he came out of Egypt? He was 40 years old. How old was he when he got the mountain? 80. I thought it was 87, but was it 85? And the message was 85. I think in the Bible it was 87, but I'm not sure. No, he got it right. So, hey, that's a long time. Say that with me. That's a long time. If you interviewed Pastor Morrison tonight, who's up in heaven, you'd say, Pastor, how did you live your life? He said, I wholly followed the Lord. How long did you follow him? 2 years. Now, Pastor Morrison would say, no. My whole life. How'd you do it? I received. I was humble. I was in the right spirit in the congregation. I learned to rejoice. I learned to serve. I learned to be faithful. I learned to walk by faith. I had the Spirit of God did it. And that's the same with every life here. The Spirit of God, that's what you got. Spirit of God. Do you have the spirit of CNN? Local TV? How about it? Do you have the spirit of Baltimore? Do you have the spirit of the United States of America and all that? I love my country, but I'm not living in some kind of la la land about reality. I want to share the gospel. I want to preach the gospel. Our country's going where? In a handbasket. Where's it going? It's going in a bad direction. And you know what's needed? Caleb had what? Another spirit. That's what's needed. Not this. You know, be careful now. Be careful. I've got to finish. I didn't get to preach tonight, so, you know, okay, so listen. Do I love America? Yeah, you can't find a better American than the way we are. That nor are we deceived that this country is in trouble. That we are killing our babies. We are murdering people. Forget about this whole. The hypocrisy of this world is unbelievable. Kids are getting murdered in the streets of Baltimore. Does anybody care? Does anybody care? Oh, you know, COVID. COVID is a big deal. COVID, somebody died. Okay, fine. But what about a kid in the street shot and murdered, 17 years old and so on? And what about that kid? What about that death? What about that death? What about murder on the street? Hypocrisy is unbelievable. Don't have a hypocritical spirit. Every life is precious. Every second is a gift. Every promise from God is real. That God is real in our life, and we want to bring it right here where we're living. And that means we care about kids on the street. We care about kids in the neighborhood. We care about things that are going on. We care about world missions. What do you think? This thing shuts us down? That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. This is not shutting us down. Caleb had another spirit. That is ridiculous. You mean I can't go soul winning? You mean I cannot evangelize? You mean I cannot bring the gospel? You mean that it changes my life like that? No, then I am not wholly following the Lord. Because Jesus would say, I need you in the crisis. I need you in the prison cell. I need you when things are bad. I need you in the nursing home. I need you on the street. I need you in the mission field. I need you in the face of the devil. I need you in a place of danger. I need you to risk your life and lay down your life. I need you to have another spirit, not to save your life, but a life of the Holy Spirit who sent us into the world to live on the rooftop, in the corner of a rooftop, and so on. Okay, so that's fun. That's amazing. That was an amazing message, Pastor. I love that message. Wow. Okay, we have another spirit. We have another spirit. We're not quitting. We're not backing up. We're not putting up. We're not shutting up. We're not quitters. We're not backing off. No, we do good when the pressure's on by God's grace because we have another spirit. We have a spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When things are bad, things are good. Thank you, God. That's how I feel about it. That was amazing. Amazing. Caleb's spirit. Jesus Christ is in our midst. You know what? Churches have shut down. They haven't been open for 4 months or 5 months. A church has not been open for 4 or 5 months. What is the pastor doing? Where is he? What is his message? What spirit does he have? What is he of the world? Why? Where is he? Where is the man of God? Where is the man of God? Where are the people of God? Wow, that's amazing. Country's going in the wrong direction. Churches are going, but not in California, Huntington Beach, Google it. 5,000 people gathering. Governor Newsom says you cannot meet. The Christians are saying we're going to go to the beach and we're going to sing our hearts out and we're going to baptize new believers and we're going to preach the gospel and we need a revival in the United States of America. We needed a revival in the United States of America. That's called another spirit. That's another spirit. That's another spirit. That's the devil hates that spirit. He loves to talk to you all night long and lull you into passivity and tell you you've got to fear this and fear that and don't do this and don't do that. And the government says it and then it goes and it's like, oh, what's going on? Right, you show up at church in humility and we hear a message from a man of God like we did and we have fellowship with each other and we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and we have no convention. But look at what I got on my underneath in my shirt. I got a convention t-shirt. Oh no. I got a convention t-shirt underneath. You can't get it out of me. You can't get it out of me. And these are for sale in the cafe. Hey, we canceled it, but God is with us. That's the good news. Programs come and go, but Jesus is here forever. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Things change, they go up and down, but God doesn't change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.